Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. It is game day as the high school football season kicks off for multiple teams across Western Oklahoma. We'll talk about that in the middle segment. We've got John Lee from the Pampa newspaper to talk about the game tonight with the Elks and the Pampa Harvesters. And then at the top of the show, we've got sad times in expansion. And will Oklahoma have to throw every down? Before we get to the college football topics of the day, breaking news.
Dun, 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 dun.
Breaking news, and this is probably the biggest story worldwide. And because I enjoy Scott Garrison and his company enough, I will say this. Do you know Cristiano Ronaldo? You know who that is?
Yes, I do.
Well, he's going to be moving clubs. And supposedly, he was going to go to Manchester City. Breaking news. Nope. City is out of the running and replaced by Manchester United. Cristiano Ronaldo is now Manchester United. Now the front runners for Cristiano Ronaldo. There you go. Soccer. We got some in.
Excuse me.
Got some soccer in.
Okay.
Not interested at all.
Is that earth-shattering news?
I think as around the world, yeah. I'm going to go with that's earth-shattering.
I know he's a good player. I mean, everybody talks about him, and he's a real good player. So what's it change? What's it do? Like, I guess
they're, I don't know what
the favorites to win the Queen's Cup. I don't know what it's called. What is it?
Premier League. I even
Premier
know that
League?
Because it's on
NBC. Good.
I don't know if they're the favorites or not. It's just interesting. So you've had, Messi left his team just the other day.
Yeah.
And he went to Paris from Barcelona.
Barcelona to Paris, right.
I think Ronaldo, had he been at Juventus? Yep. Boom. Soccer.
I am impressed.
I'm killing soccer right now. Don't kid yourself.
I am impressed.
Juventus, which is, I think that's Italian. Anyway, Manchester United. You know what I know the most about Manchester United?
What is that?
Where it stems from? Eurotrip.
Yes. Sing the song. Sing, my baby takes them. Not bad, lads. Pretty dang good. Yeah, that's funny.
That's what I know the most about Manchester United.
I've been to Europe once. It was 20 years ago this summer, and we were in Germany. They have a big soccer team in Munich.
Bayern Munich.
Yes, and I bought a T-shirt. It's like, hey, when in Rome, or in this case, Munich, I ate the Wiener Schnitzel, and I bought a shirt.
You did what?
Yeah, with the sauerkraut.
You ate what?
The sauerkraut.
What was it called? You ate the what?
The sauerbrats. Oops, sorry. The sauerkraut. Wiener Schnitzel. Right there on the big square with the giant clock. It's this giant cuckoo clock, basically. I mean, where they, at a certain time every day, life-size figures come out.
What?
I'm not kidding. Like, think of a little clock, like, you know, and like every hour, ding, and they look, ding, 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 you know, is a giant one. Look it up in the square of Munich.
A giant clock?
I'm not kidding. Look it up.
Huh. I've heard of Big Ben. Isn't that a giant clock? But that's in England.
That is in
London,
jolly
I guess.
Jolly old London. This is in Munich, Germany. Anyways, I bought a shirt, and I've since lost that shirt. I feel bad about that. Probably outgrown it.
Probably okay. No one's going to send you to prison for not having the Bayern Munich shirt anymore.
But if we have any, have anybody listening in Munich, Germany, I'd
wants
love
to send
can,
one.
Can someone send me a shirt, please, to replace my shirt?
PO Box 945, right here to the station. Probably shouldn't have done that. They might send us something different.
Oh.
All right. Well, there's soccer.
There's soccer
that just popped up as we were coming on the air. So Ronaldo, not going to Man City. Looks like he's going to Man U.
Is there a bigger letdown when your phone buzzes from ESPN? And it's just breaking news. And you, oh, what is it? What is it? You look, and it's soccer breaking news.
Probably not.
Like, that's the breaking news? You had to put the flashing light emojis
next
to? Here's
the deal. I mean, as much as we're kidding around and making fun of it,
I'm going to get a lot of flack for this.
The truth of it is, it's probably the second biggest story in the world, period.
Like, in the history of the world.
No. I mean, right now.
Okay.
Like, worldwide news is probably the second biggest story, period.
Right.
You know, sports or otherwise.
Yeah. I get it.
Soccer's that big a deal.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
The first would be
debacles in Afghanistan.
And Biden being instructed.
Man, let's not even go there. This is a good way to get me to cuss on the air.
He was instructed to only take questions from. What a mess. Who's in charge?
Nobody. We all know who's in charge.
Oh, my goodness.
Barack. Oh. He's finally getting to do everything he wanted to do, and it's not his fault.
It's true.
How's that working out for everybody else?
Yep.
It's not going well.
All right.
Not going well. I tell you what else isn't going well.
Ah.
Pac-12 expansion for the remaining Big 12 schools.
Are they not just so full of themselves?
The Pac-12, I got the announcement right here. Following consultation with our presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors, the Pac-12 conference has made the decision to not pursue expansion of our membership at this time. This decision was made following extensive internal discussions and analysis and is based on the current competitive strength and cohesiveness of our 12 universities. It's also grounded in our confidence in our ability as a conference to best support our student athletes and to grow and thrive both academically and athletically.
You know that yawn I just gave for soccer?
Mm-hmm.
I apply that to the Pac-12 football still. I mean, they're not even looking to expand, to compete. Are they just so full of themselves? They think they're just, we're okay. We got the Rose Bowl. We got USC and who else?
One of two things is happening. Either they're serious and they're not going to expand, and the reason why, at least for some of these Big 12 schools, is going to be the academic prestige that they view themselves to have.
Yeah.
And that, quite frankly, OSU, Tech, Kansas State, TCU, Baylor don't. That's part of it. But I also think another part of it is there's just this doesn't matter right now. You know, the alliance doesn't matter. And it's all just posturing, and it's all just doing something for the sake of doing something.
That's how I've always felt about the
after
first time
OU
I heard,
and Texas,
yeah,
you know, announced their move to the SEC.
The first time I heard of the word alliance in these three conferences, I thought it's like a desperate attempt just to do something because the SEC did something big.
And here's the truth of it. This statement doesn't mean a hill of beans at the end of the day. It doesn't mean a hill of beans. Is this a way to kick the can down the road a little bit with the expansion talks? Is this a way to try to slow down the expanded playoff? I mean, we saw Gordon Gee, West Virginia. Apparently, there's a swing vote. He's going to vote against expanding the playoff. I think this is all such show and shaking your fist at ESPN, the SEC, and OU in Texas for what they did. And it's just trying to – but the problem is they don't have any real power.
No.
Because no one in their right mind in the Pac-12, West Virginia, the ACC, or the Big Ten, if you're in your right mind and you're thinking clearly, you realize that, yeah, 12 teams gives the SEC chance to have more. But it gives us a chance to have more, too. And, oh, by the way, Pac-12, it gives you a chance to be in it.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to be in it. And so I think a lot of this is such posture ahead of the meeting at the end of next month when the vote is going to be taken. I think it's more than obvious that these three conferences that aligned, their entire goal with the expansion of the playoff is to make sure that they have a guaranteed seat at the table of the playoff. Instead of just the top six ranked conference champs, it's going to be specifying them by name. Automatic bid for the SEC, automatic bid for the ACC, automatic bid for the Big Ten, automatic bid for the Pac-12. Now, where does that leave the Big 12 in all of this? I think they're in all. If you're OSU right now, unless you have a guarantee, kind of on a backdoor conversation with the Pac-12, and it's kind of a handshake, hush hush, we're taking you, just not right now, until all this is blown over. If you're OSU, you're in a horrible spot, because do you extend your grant of rights to a conference that you think is dying? Do you? I mean, if you're the Big 12, you have to. If you're going to be a viable option to the TV networks, you have to expand. You can't play with eight.
No.
You have to figure out what to do and who to bring in. But if you're some of these teams, if you're OSU, Iowa State with their academics, Kansas with theirs, West Virginia obviously right next to the ACC. Do you go with that and maybe shackle yourself to a dying league, or do you have, if you don't have those guarantees, what do you do in the meantime, waiting on all this posturing to quit and the Big 12 get blown up?
You're asking if you're OSU, what do you do?
Yeah.
I'm keeping open channels with every possible option. But as far as, man, that'd be hard to put ink to paper for a league that's dying.
Back to the Big 12?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, man.
But then if you don't, I mean, I guess what's going to happen? It's not like the Big 12 is going to kick you out if you don't do it, are they? Wouldn't think so. They don't have a better option than OSU.
What is their option? Yeah. Who will blink first in that situation? And OSU might be better off to not commit to anything to the Big 12, because you're right. The Big 12 is like, we can't survive with seven or six teams. And if OSU makes a stand, what's to say other schools like, you know what, I'm kind of with OSU. We don't want to.
Well, yeah, if you're West Virginia and you're there and you're right next to all the ACC. I mean,
yeah, you don't want to be tied down.
If you're Kansas with your basketball, you don't really.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's pretty interesting because the ball seems to be back in the Big 12's court, and the conference itself, not necessarily the teams in it, but the conference itself obviously would have to move forward with trying to expand. And then the talk of, okay, who moves the needle there?
Yeah. Who's going to want to come to the Big 12 outside of any team from the AAC?
Well, yeah. And
you see what I'm saying?
With the idea that it's dying anyway.
You're going to have to, Houston and Cincinnati and Memphis, they'd jump, not Louisville, they would jump on the chance to join the Big 12 right now.
Sure they would. So here's the question.
They'd see it as an upgrade, but Big 12's going like, that's not, we're not trading OU Texas for you guys.
Well, you may have to, though.
Exactly.
That's the point. You may have to. So,
Tulsa.
BYU. Obviously, to me, is the crown jewel that's out there that's possible. Notre Dame is not coming to the Big 12.
Oh, no.
Now, is it BYU? I mean, I think if you're the Big 12 and you're trying to keep this thing afloat and make it, you know, somewhat viable moving forward, don't you have to call Arizona and Arizona State to see?
Be worth the phone call.
Because here's the truth. If you keep this together, Arizona State and Arizona are going to get a huge upgrade in the money they're going to be making through the conference.
Yeah.
Because the Big 12 conference TV contracts are better than the Pac-12. It's not even close.
Yeah.
So I think you have to. And so if you're going to make that call, do you skip the BYU call and do you just swing for the fences here? If you're going to call Arizona and Arizona State, why not call, say, Utah and Colorado?
Yeah. part of me thinks Colorado would rather get back to the Midwest.
Yeah, I don't think so. America.
You don't think so?
No.
You think they like being in the Pac-12?
I do, and that's the – so maybe if you know that, then the BYU-Utah, you got that natural rivalry built in.
Yeah.
I do think you'd like to avoid the BYU – I don't know, issues probably isn't the right word, but, you know, the baggage that comes along.
Yeah, the no Sunday thing.
With you know, any of that
they're
stuff.
They're going to say, hey, we already got a network.
Right.
You know,
they don't play football on it. Live football games aren't on there. Their package is with ESPN.
Yeah.
For television. So that can be kind of folded into whatever with some of that. But it's really interesting because the further along we've gone, doesn't it feel the more likely scenario is the Big 12 makes it? How in the hell is the Big 12 going to make it through two of these? A lot of people thought it was dead in 2011. And now for sure dead this summer. And the further along it goes, the more it appears likely that the Big 12 makes it.
Do you think that because it was very eye-opening when the first talk of this alliance came out and the Big 12 was not included in it, at first thought was, well, they're not included because they don't expect the Big 12 to be around in the next couple of years. Or do a lot of insiders think, man, the Big 12 is actually being very proactive and it looks like they're going to survive? And then we need to form an alliance to try to keep our teams from going to the Big 12 or
well,
something
see,
like that?
If you're the Pac-12, the thing is, I mean, the Big 12 obviously looks ridiculously weak right now with the loss of the two bell cows, right?
Yeah.
But the Pac-12 is just USC going to the Big 10 away from looking the exact same way.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it almost feels like there has to be some sort of agreement because – why would the Pac-12 leave itself so vulnerable to get poached instead of nailing down the stability of having these, you know, like we've talked, three time zones, the brand that is OSU football and the other sports, like you've talked about, the Olympic sports, the basketball, that fits right in with what's out at the Pac-12. And then, you know, the reports this week were Kansas State or Texas Tech, you know, whatever. But to stabilize your conference – and kind of build a fortress around it. That, I mean, if you're Arizona and Arizona State, what's the difference? Other than the Big 12 actually cares about football.
Right. Yeah.
They actually care about it. So I think it's really interesting yesterday for them saying nothing. I'd like to know what they said as they're saying nothing. Did they, you know, is everybody afraid of Bowlesby suing them at this point to trying to desecrate or detonate the league into oblivion?
Suing them as in the Pac-12.
Yeah,
it would have been weird if they came out and said, yeah, we're going to expand in a couple years. Now, usually the expansion comes at the drop of a hat. You're like, whoa, what?
Right.
The OU Texas situation. You know, they keep it under wraps, and then, you know, in this case it leaked, but you knew there was an announcement. I mean, you had to know. I mean, there's an announcement coming, obviously sooner than later, but they kept it under wraps for so long. It would be odd for the Pac-12 to come out and say, we're going to expand, but it's going to be a couple of years.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense.
That didn't make no sense.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, who are they going to go get?
I think the phrase at this time, a lot of people were taking, kind of reading into that, is we're not expanding at this time.
Well, so, maybe they're not expanding yesterday, but maybe they're going to expand today.
That's what at this time. So we'll see what happens. Quickly. So going into the summer, you felt like the running back room at the University of Oklahoma was so crowded that you needed an extra couch. Kennedy Brooks coming back from setting out a year. Eric Gray transferred in from Tennessee. You already had Seth McGowan who kind of showed out in the Cotton Bowl. You had Marcus Major that kind of showed out in the Cotton Bowl. And then Mikey Henderson was going to move from that H-back to maybe being more of a running back. Who else? Feel like I'm leaving somebody out.
Oh, it's a revolving door. It's been like that for years.
Now you've got Kennedy Brooks and Eric Gray. Henderson McGowan decided to pencil whip somebody for drugs. They got kicked out of the school. Trey Bradford, who transferred in from LSU in June, is now going to go back to LSU. And so you're left with two. You're left with Eric Gray. You're left with Kennedy Brooks. First off, if they're not wearing blue practice jerseys for the rest of the season, that's ridiculous. And second off, it may not even be enough. They may be walking around in the bubble like the bubble boy on Seinfeld to try to protect them all you can. Two running backs, that is a huge potential problem for Oklahoma.
Yeah, you know, obviously there's walk-ons that I think will see time, but it will change the offensive scheme a little bit, or you know, the pass to run ratio. A lot of people outside of the program and outside of even the state and conference would think, well, all OU does is throw it anyway, so this isn't alarming. But go back and look at the numbers. OU runs the ball very, very well. They have ever since Riley has arrived on campus. So it's going to be a challenge for the coach. You're going to, you know, remember the old days of the running back. There's one running back and then he carried the rock all the time and come out for a breather every once in a while. But those are the days. Those are old days. But, you know, health is going to be a factor there. You know, if one goes down, that's going to be an issue.
I think it's already an issue. Think about some of the.
Well, if one guy goes down.
Yeah, but even just having two, because some of the best offense we've seen from Riley is with two backs.
No, I'm not saying it's not an issue. I'm saying in the middle of the season, if one guy goes down, that's a big problem.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a big problem right now without him going down. Yeah. Just because it changes everything. It changes what you want to do. You can't. Yeah. I don't know that you can afford to have both of them out on the field together because of the risk.
No.
And then and also add this little nugget to your risk, COVID. I mean, it's going to be.
Well, that's everybody's risk.
It's now. Yeah, but everybody else has eight running backs.
Yeah.
OU's got two on scholarship. I mean, that's a huge deal. I know, hearing yesterday that Brian Darby is a receiver who played running back in high school. Maybe he's a guy that probably is already getting reps at the running back spot. You know, Jeremiah Hall could probably fill in a pinch, a la Dimitri Flowers a few years ago at Iowa State when some guys were out. But that's not ideal. That's not what you're trying to do with the team that's looking to win the national title. So this is a – three was going to be tough. And with that news yesterday, too, man, get the ice ready for Rattler's arm. Or maybe he doesn't throw as much in practice anymore. Go back to the Josh Heupel days of not throwing in practice.
It's not ideal to run your quarterback a lot, but he is a dual-threat guy.
Yeah, TJ Pledger. Well, he'd already kind of moved on, but he's another guy that was in that room coming into this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we'll see. I'm a little bit more optimistic about it because you got guys who walk on. You just can't walk on to any university. So, we'll see.
I mean, this takes them from...
I mean, scratch them from the national title game.
It's going to be pretty damn hard to pick them. With the possibilities. I mean, it's going to be hard to pick them. Joining us now is the editor of the Pampa News, follows the Harvesters in sports, as Mr. John Lee. John, how are you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Man, we're doing good. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, plenty hot for the game this evening.
Say, what you think it's going to be beautiful?
It's going to be beautiful where we are. A little bit of that air conditioning blowing on our backs. It's up in the press box.
Right.
Like 10 days ago, we looked at the forecast, and we thought we were going to get that little monsoon thing.
Yeah.
And it might get some cooler weather.
Yeah, like 89.
Yeah, they missed that.
Yeah, try 98.
Yeah.
Well, so, they could have sent us the clouds, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of looking out the window. I don't see any of those either. So it's going to be hot. But Pampa comes in. It's obviously week zero for both teams. Season opener, just like it was last year. Difference is this time for the Harvesters, a new head coach, Cody Robinson, takes over for Greg Poynter. Will there be noticeable differences from Pampa, or is he going to kind of try to keep doing what Coach Poynter was doing?
Well, Coach Rob, he tends to do a lot of more. He tries to be a lot more balanced, you know. Coach Poynter, he ran the air raid. It would, you know, spread the ball across the field, all over the place, run it deep. From Coach Robinson, he tends to do a little bit more of a power spread. He still likes to spread it out, but he wants to be as balanced as possible. When I was talking to him the other day, he said that during scrimmage, he had about roughly right around 26 pass plays, 23 run plays, you know. So he doesn't like to be one-dimensional. He likes to keep the defense on their toes and run that ball. And, you know, especially with the back we've got in the backfield, Peanut. Cornelius Landers is what the roster says, but he goes by Peanut around here. He's, you know, explosive and hard to tackle. So that definitely lends to Pampa's favor if they can keep it balanced.
Yeah, when I was reading the article that's in y'all's paper about kind of the preview of the game Friday night, he talked about wanting to be balanced and a little bit more physical. And it makes sense because you mentioned Cornelius Landers. I mean, that dude, he had the best run we saw last year all year long on one where it felt like every single guy on the Elk City defense had a shot at him and eventually pulled him down after about 11 guys made contact. Just talk about him coming back as a senior and give us an idea of what to look forward to from number one out there for Pampa.
Well, man, I tell you, like, he is by far, and no offense to any of the other kids, but he's the most exciting one to watch. I mean, he breaks tackles, and he is hard to bring down. You know, I make a joke every time I'm on the sidelines taking pictures and stuff, and I see him go down. I'm like, it looks like he hurts when he goes down because that's how hard you have to bring him down. Like, I wince every now and then, but he, you know, pops right back up and keeps on going. And, you know, Peanut is excellent and does a great job. But, you know, we also have another back, Jordan Lacey, totally different kind of back, but he also can punch it in when he needs to get the ball. Not quite as elusive as Peanut when it comes to breaking tackles, but he can get the job done too, and that kind of keeps the defense on their toes. I could imagine if they get them both out there at the same time, it's, you know, going to be a guessing game for the defense.
Hey, John, Jared Atha here. How did, you know, we got Pampa last year, first game. They looked like a really impressive team, like we talked about. How did the season go? Kind of give us a history lesson here. How did the season go? Was COVID an issue as far as game? It was definitely an issue with us, not necessarily on our team, but other teams. How did the season go for the Harvesters last year?
Well, you know, we made the playoffs, and we had a good game against Hereford. Our district is Hereford, Dumas, Canyon, and us. And I don't know how much you guys know about Canyon and Dumas, but, you know, they're kind of the powerhouses in the not only in our district, but in the Panhandle. They go two to three rounds deep almost every year. But we didn't really have any issues with COVID. We did have one game that got switched. We were going to go down to Big Spring, but then they had a COVID issue. And so we subbed in. But, you know, we had a great non-district run, got into district. If I remember correctly, I think we dropped on Canyon and Dumas, but Jack, our quarterback, he got hurt, he missed the last two or three games, and Sam Anguiano, who's the quarterback coming in tonight, he filled in for him, and he's a little bit of a different type quarterback. You know, Jack, as much as he could scramble around, he was much more of your pocket passer, whereas Sam, he can sling it if he needs to, but he also brings in that running threat. And I mean, he's an athlete. He's our third baseman. He either plays shortstop or third baseman on our baseball team too. So, I mean, you got to be an athlete to play those spots. And I mean, he's just that, an athlete.
And he kind of took my next question a little bit on the with Jack Studebaker. Also, Kyler Cook was the linebacker that has moved on. Outside of Sam Anguiano, who else is going to be some guys that are stepping into roles that they didn't necessarily play last year but are going to be forced to with some graduation from the team in 2020?
Well, we have Kaysen Stewart and Rhett Hill. They're going to be on our defense. And in our scrimmage against Caprock, I tell you, the defense, they're in the backfield almost every single play. They definitely made it difficult on the Caprock quarterback. And, you know, Coach Rob, his goal on defense is to, especially against, you know, in the Vernon scrimmage, you know, he said they had a couple of decent runs, but Vernon, you know, Vernon's a very run-heavy offense, but he said they had plenty of, you know, negative two, negative three. But, you know, you mentioned Kyler, I mentioned Kaysen Stewart and Rhett Hill, but they're going to be good. We also have a Martinez in the secondary. He's one of our soccer stars on our program. So we're going to have somewhat of a young defense, but a lot of guys that they play multiple sports and they're athletes and they're fast. You know, that's one thing I think when we had the air raid offense that really worked out was the speed, and of course that's going to translate well, I feel like, to the power spread, which involves a little bit more motions and just about more balance on offense.
Over here in Oklahoma, talking with fans and even some of the players, they take the Oklahoma versus Texas angle in this game and kind of let them juice it up. You know, is it like that over there? Do the guys over there in Texas enjoy coming over here to Oklahoma and get a little OU, or I'm sorry, there I did it. Yeah. Oklahoma Texas rivalry going on. Is it pretty? Is it a fun atmosphere like that?
Oh, a little bit. You know, I tell you though, for us, you know, the big rivalry is, you know, on the border or down Highway 162 and border. That's the one that really gets our kids up and fired up. But you know, I'm sure there's plenty of those fans around here that think, man, you know, I just want to go over there and stomp the Okies, you know. So, and you know, Elk City, I enjoyed covering the games with you guys the first few years we played. I know we took a couple years off there, but when it was just a back and forth, you know, especially when we had, I think it was Pointer's first or second year, where we had games that were like 52-45 and yeah, crazy, just track meets basically.
Kind of like an OU Texas game, yeah, at least last year.
Yeah.
with the change in the offense a little bit, and a couple of the guys that were receivers that graduated, do you anticipate Cornelius Landers getting the ball out in space through the passing game a little bit more this year than maybe he has in the past?
I can see it a little bit, but we also have some guys that are coming back as wide receivers. Hunter Dyer, he's our slot receiver. Mm-hmm. He'll be back there. Jesse Alvidrez, he's another one of our outside wide receivers. He had a couple of big plays in the scrimmage against Caprock. We also have a kid, Bryson Morak. So if you guys hear them mispronounce his name in the press box, that's how it goes, Morak. It happens all the time. but yeah, Bryson Morak, he had a couple of big plays in our scrimmage against Caprock. So, but I definitely feel like Cornelius needs to get some hands on the ball in that passing game. Because like you said, get him out in the open field. And he's hard enough to bring down when you're running between the tackles. Put him in the open field where he has space to move around a little bit. Definitely a dangerous situation for the defense.
Also, special teams. I noticed that Coach Robinson mentioned that in the story that you wrote previewing this game. Yeah. And Eric Hernandez, kicker, is back. And he was like, what, all-district or all-state? Something like that. I mean, that's such a huge weapon to have a kicker like that, not only to make field goals, but also in the field position game where in Oklahoma, if you kick it to the goal line, it's an automatic touchback and the offense has to start at the 20.
Right, yeah. And I tell you, a lot of high school kids, you want to get inside the 20 to even think about a field goal.
Right.
Well, you get inside the 20 with Eric and you're – you know, I don't want to give him a sports reporter jinx, but he's almost guaranteed. You know, so if there's a missed field goal tonight, I'll take the blame on that. But but I've seen him make it from 40-ish yards. You know, and in the high school game, that to me that's huge because you don't see that every day. Some teams don't even have a kicker and they go for it on fourth down because they have to. But in our situation, like you said, it's like an added weapon for us just in case we need it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, John, thank you so much for your time. You got any questions for us as you make your way over here tonight to Elk City?
Like where to eat?
No, I think I'm going to get there probably right around game time, and I'm actually going to be staying in a hotel over there and probably make my trek back home in the morning. I'm going to make it play a little safe tonight.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Well, thank you so much for your time. Be careful coming over here, and we look forward to seeing you in tonight when Elk City and Pampa get together at Big Elk Stadium.
Thanks, guys. Good luck this season.
Hey, thank you. You too. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Bye.
John Lee, Pampa News editor, previewing the Elks and the Harvesters.
I anticipate a good game.
I do too.
And I heard right there. I know what we got, but it's nice to get some insight from the other side. And I just feel like we got a good one coming.
The main thing tonight is tackling Cornelius Landers.
You know, and he was the guy who had that big run against us. I'm looking at just doing some research on Pampa. There's a video of him, and it wasn't against us. It looked like it was a couple weeks later. Very similar. He's electric.
Oh yeah, and hard to bring down.
He is
low to the ground.
You don't give
shifty.
Him the first time. Look out.
He's shifty, but he's also strong.
Yeah,
yeah. He's a good back. He'll be one of the best ones that the Elks will see all season long for sure.
Yeah.
Tonight with Landers for the Pampa Harvesters. Be interesting, because I think there's obviously a lot of excitement there with the season they had, 8-3 last year. But also, think there's
successful
a lot of
season. They scored a lot of points last year, but like you said, a lot of those points are the who scored them are probably gone.
Some of them. I mean, Landers obviously back, yeah. Breaking in a new quarterback
and a new coach. I did not know that.
Yeah, Cody Robinson in his first year. Coach Pointer went to Seminole.
Yes.
ISD.
Yes.
Follow him on Twitter. So I started following him on Twitter last year to get some nuggets from Pampa, and now so I know where he's at. He's in Seminole.
The head coach.
Yeah, Greg Pointer.
No offense to coaches, but they're not the greatest of tweeters outside.
He's pretty good
outside of Lincoln Riley.
He's pretty good.
Is he? Is he?
And it makes me wonder if he's turned it over to somebody, like if he's got like a social media person, or if he just likes it that much. I'm really intrigued
maybe,
by that
maybe
question.
He's
I would
like,
love
hey,
to know.
You know, kind of like Tank in the Lincoln Riley effect. Like he knows what connects the kids.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, cool.
Football and other sports.
That's you cool.
Know? Yeah, it really. Of course, he's probably also the athletic director. He was at Pampa.
Ah.
Which Robinson is the coach and AD.
Yeah.
So maybe that there's that part of his job as well. Any chance Coach Hunt knows how to tweet?
Any chance Coach Hunt has an iPhone?
Don't forget, we are a week away. Week and a day away, I guess. Of you being locked out. And we don't want you to be locked out.
Try it.
But of you being locked out of the Western Oklahoma Realty Picks Contest. You can sign up on ESPN's website, or you can go through the link that we have posted on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty, people before property is their motto. We owe Tyler a video. I did not forget, Tyler. We'll get that done today. Send it to you.
It's going to get you.
But this contest, season-long contest, picking college football games, and it's going to be against the spread. None of this, just picking winners this season. We've stepped it up against the point spread picks for the entire season. Winner's going to get some awesome prizes, tickets, meals. It's going to be great.
Any interest in...
And by the way, it's free to enter.
Free to enter to win prizes?
Free to enter to win prizes.
That should be a no-brainer. Absolute no-brainer. Any interest in... Week zero games. Do you have any
in college football?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
How come ESPN will not take me to week zero? When I try to see the schedule.
Yeah, I tried to do this yesterday too.
I mean, Nebraska's one of them.
Yeah, Nebraska. That's the one.
That's one I'm interested in.
That's the one that has all the interest for me. Is Nebraska at Illinois? Illinois ran a roughshod over Nebraska last year.
Yeah.
In Lincoln. So we'll see what Brett Bielema.
Is he at Illinois?
He's the new coach at Illinois.
Yeah.
How does that go? Scott Frost is in. Let me ask you this. Is there a scenario? Let me pull that. I think it was 41-13 or something like that last year. Let me look. Hang on. I'm pulling it up right now. 41-23.
That was the score from
Illinois,
last year.
Illinois won at Nebraska last year. 41-23.
That is brutal.
With everything that's going on right now up there, Trev Alberts as the new AD, Scott Frost in hot water over some too much practicing, COVID type of of problems.
Was that game in Lincoln, by the way?
The one last year was.
Jeez.
This game is in Illinois. Champagne. In Champaign.
Best name for a town.
Champaign. It's the Champagne of the Big Ten.
Champagne.
If that happens again, is there a chance Scott Frost doesn't make it to the OU game?
Like fired before he gets on the plane?
Yeah.
Or as soon as he gets off the plane? I don't know. That's a tough one for me. It is so – I never liked firing a guy in the middle of a season.
Right.
I've never been a fan of that. Wait until as soon as the last game's over and you take care of it. But to do it after the first game of the year, is that what you're asking me? Or any game between now and OU?
I just mean if they get blown out by Illinois,
right,
would Trev Alberts take the opportunity of that embarrassment on national TV to just go, listen, Scott, you might get fired anyway because of these NCAA infractions. Your team hasn't lived up to expectations. I'm a new AD. I didn't hire you anyway. I want my guy. Boom, see ya.
If that happened, if Nebraska goes to Illinois, they lose by whatever. By the way, Nebraska's a touchdown favorite.
Right.
If they lose similar like they did last year and they pull the trigger on Frost, we start seeing breaking news Sunday morning that he's cut, he's gone. That would be the lowest point of Nebraska football history. Could you take him down any lower ever in their history?
Boy, that's really interesting.
Like, man, we were so bad, we fired a guy after one game. That's how bad we were. Now, hindsight's 20/20. It could, at that point, you can just say, well, it's nothing up from here, nothing but up from here, because that's a low point to fire a coach. Again, I don't like coaches being fired in the middle of the season. I don't care if it's game one or before the last game of the year. I don't like it. But if that happened, that would be low, extremely low.
Yeah.
Because then the fan base was like, why bite? Why even continue the sellouts? By the way, I'm hearing that they're having trouble selling out.
Well, yeah. I mean, those people aren't used to this.
No. So,
I mean, there's no stones to throw here because go to a game in 1997 at Oklahoma. It wasn't sold out.
No, no.
And a lot smaller stadium than it is now.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just the way it goes. But when
it's hard to sell out a losing product.
Well, yeah, especially when it's one that's won many years.
There's only so far pride can take you. At some point, you're like, do I really want to go and watch Ohio State just crame us, man? I don't want to do, you know?
Be in Ohio State than, say, Minnesota or
something.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, what do you think? Do you think he survives?
I don't know.
I don't think he survives this year. I'm confident.
I don't know if he can have a good enough season to survive with all the stuff that's swirling around.
Right, yeah.
And it'll make it a whole heck of a lot easier on him if he could rip off about a 10-2.
Yeah. And an upset here and there.
Yeah, and especially if he could find a way to beat either OU or Ohio State for that feather in your cap.
Are they happy if they go to Norman and it takes a last-minute drive from OU to win it?
Absolutely.
And they're like, wow, look at that. We hung with them.
Absolutely. Because their history in this conference against the upper echelon teams isn't very good. Ohio State beat them, 52-10 last year or something like that?
Yeah.
52-17? Yeah, 52-17. Ugh. They got out of playing Wisconsin for COVID. And then they played Iowa 26-20. But, I mean, when you're talking about the upper of the upper echelon teams, they haven't even been close.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know what Nebraska's
if it
like.
Takes Gabe Berkich kicking a field goal to win the game, I think they might throw a party in Lincoln.
Yeah, they'll be releasing the red balloons.
I think so.
You know what Nebraska is to me? Nebraska is the bully back in high school. And then 20 years later, you're going to go back to a reunion, and then you see him like, you're not so scary anymore.
No, kind of plumped up there in Nebraska.
Yeah, you kind of lost a little off the top there.
All right, enough of that. Enough of that. I got a question. A question has been posed on my text line.
Your personal text line.
My personal text line.
We need to give that number out because that gets more action than our text
line. The question is this. So what kind of food is Sean bringing tomorrow when he drafts for the CDC Lambs?
Sean.
I hear he makes a mean pineapple upside down cake. have we came to an actual?
I need to get with, I guess, my co-owner now and see if he's really legit. Or do I need to come up with
an alternate plan?
An alternate plan, like a best available sheet, and have somebody kind of say, okay, well, he's gone, but Jared wanted this guy if this guy's available.
We need a resolution.
I know.
To this problem,
Jared. I feel really bad about this.
Now, what am I cooking? What am I taking to the party?
Last year
you got pizza for us.
Yeah, I picked up some hot and readies, but that's not an option anymore.
It's not an option anymore.
So, and nobody ate it. So I took it back home.
Well, I want to try to avoid that.
Yeah, you want to bring something people eat, right?
Yes.
I felt like a failure.
What do you think about pig candy? You know what that is?
Not a clue.
It's like just literally taking a piece of bacon and putting like brown sugar and maybe some spices and baking it, and it comes out as pig candy.
Okay. Kind of caramelizes think about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always like a similar thing there. It's a little bit more labor intensive, but like bacon wrapped little smokies.
Yeah, you can bacon wrap anything; it'd be great.
That you put some of that on.
Somebody's
already making poppers, so it can't.
Okay,
do that.
I was gonna say I haven't had that in about a year.
There's already poppers.
Yeah, it's only football time I eat those. I don't eat them anytime else.
I'm down with the pig candy. That may be what I do.
Very good.
That or the I like the little smokies though. They're a little bit easier to. Well, you can put a you can just pick them up with the. Yeah. Toothpick and slide it right off. A little bit harder to make, but they're delicious too.
Well, I'll be
we're gonna miss you.
I'll be eating concession stand food all day tomorrow. I'll be
$4 hot dogs.
Working the no, I'm working it, man.
Working.
I'll be slipping a hot dog or two every once in
free
a while.
Hot dog. You know what the only thing better?
I probably shouldn't be saying that because all the moms who are running the concession
they'll be counting.
Yeah, they're gonna wait a minute.
You think somebody has an inventory over there well enough to?
Sure, I do. Yes, they were meeting Wednesday night, and they were. They looked like an army. They were getting real organized. They had like a timesheet of when people were going to work concession stand. And I'm looking around, going, "Where are all the dads? How come we're not talking about how we're going to prep the field between games? Just probably just show up and let's see what happens." But.
Fly by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, though. We got a lot of good teams coming.
Wild turkey in the Little Smokies. What?
We got a lot of recipes here. You know what we need to do? We toyed with this. We didn't do it last year. Was have like a watch party for the Super Bowl or something. Like back at that same location or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we kind of were kind of toying with that. Didn't really happen. Everyone kind of did their own thing. I've always enjoyed gathering for the Super Bowl. Who doesn't?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. Potluck. I love potluck, man. Get a little sampler of everything. Love doing that.
Yeah.
I know we got time. What about tonight? Games in the round. Obviously, Oak City, Pampa.
Sayre at Cordell.
Now, that's a way to kick off a season.
That could be a nice jump start for one of those two programs. Struggled a little bit. Gosh. Sayre made the playoffs 2 years ago, I guess. Technically last year, but was their only win Merritt? Was that the only game? Oh, I can't remember.
We should have known. We should know who won the Beckham County.
Oh, I know Sayre won. I was there.
The
I
battle,
watched it happen.
What are we calling it? The battle for Beckham County?
Sayre won that game on the last play.
The Beckham County battle?
The very last play. Colt Merrick went about 50 yards.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I just meant outside of that one. Okay. Yeah, I know who won that one. Merritt went 2-9. Sayre went 4-7. Whoa, they won way more. Oh, that's right. They started out winning some games.
Yeah, they did.
That's right. Cordell, last year, you know what the score last year in this game was?
Well, it was like 3-9 or 3-6 or something.
Six to three.
6-3.
That's right. They did. They won the first four. And then the Merritt Sayre? Games, their, yeah.
Yeah,
Merritt
didn't they have a similar game the next week against OCA or something?
24-12.
24-12. Okay, so they scored a little bit more points.
Then a 14-6 against Carnegie.
Win?
Yeah, they won.
Yeah, so they started not, that, and I thought, right. Man, Sayre might be win a lot of games with their defense.
That's right, and then they lost. The only district game they won was 12-6 against Merritt. It was 6-6, and Colt went 50-something yards on the last play of the game.
Crazy. That'll be a good one. Keep an eye on.
I think the headliner.
In our area?
Yeah, as far as just names, is Shattuck and Turpin.
Yeah.
Interesting one between a team
Turpin that's... Cardinals, I think. Don't know why.
Wait a minute.
What?
Not Turpin. Tipton.
Tipton. Oh, well, yeah. No, they're not the Cardinals.
No, they're the Tigers.
They're the Tigers.
Yeah. Shattuck and Tipton. I'm sorry. Not Turpin. Okay. Tipton. Shattuck and Tipton.
Been to Turpin.
And then also Fairview at Hobart.
Now, that could be good.
Could be very good.
That one... You know, I'm thinking right now, what scores do we want
to 20-19 last year.
Ooh, wow, that sounds fun. Who, Fairview?
Fairview beat Hobart. You know who the head coach at Fairview is?
No.
Robert Bernard. You know where he's from?
No.
Hollis.
Cool.
He's a very good basketball player. Very good athlete.
Good.
So it's Hollis.
Corn
it's,
Bible, I think, at Snyder tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ceiling Pioneer Pleasant Vale.
You know, Corn Bible will be playing their basketball in their new facilities in Clinton.
Really?
Come mid-January. I was reading this.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Last thing, I think for us, we'll have an eye over in, I think that game is in Cash. Cash El Reno.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sound like the Kool-Aid man.
I think that's one that we'll have our eye on to see. What the Bulldogs
what's Cash going to be like? You know, El Reno's going to be salty.
El Reno's had been pretty good lately.
They'll bring a fight.
Also, Altus at Chickasha. It's an interesting one.
Yeah, Altus was really down last year. Been. And Chickasha seems, what we're hearing is they could be reloading this year. So we'll keep an eye on the 4A1 guys and some area guys tonight. So tune on in to Big Elk TV.
That's right, Big Elk TV, 6:30 pregame show. We've got Coach Meadows. We've got Daylon Thompson with some interviews in the pregame. Hunter Hayes joins us on the sideline this year.
He's the halftime performance.
Halftime performance and all things.
Hunter, we're not going to make fun of your name all year.
No. I'm not going to. Maybe. Did you see that guy? I'd be afraid to whip you.
Well, everybody's a threat to me.
And there's your promo for today.
All right. Let's get the weekend going. Ready for some football.
6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kick. Big Elks and Pampa. Cool 94, BigElkTV.com for the live video stream. It's going to be a lot of fun kicking off the football season here in Out Elk City. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back to discuss everything on Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Wow.